got a big Cinco de 5-0 from Sean in a couple of minutes. CP, the franchise in the building. We'll talk Knick basketball as they get set to find out who their opponent is tomorrow night. Yankees, Blue Jays later tonight right here on the Fan. I'm looking at the lineup. It's a nothing crazy. Volpe, Soto, Judge, he's back in center. Giancarlo is DHing. Anthony Rizzo, Gleyber Torres, Alex Verdugo, Jose Trevino, and Oswaldo Cabrera with Carlos Rodon on the mound. The Mets are taking on the Pirates, trying to win another series. Francisco Alvarez is DHing, but is in the lineup. Here's the thing about the Rangers that scares me. I'll give you a fair analysis on something that has occurred with them over the last year that I've seen be a thing that helps propel teams in the National Hockey League. And that is being humbled with a defeat, being humbled with a setback
early
before winning a championship. I mean a full season. So the two examples I'd give you would be the New York Islanders right before their dynasty, right before their dynastic run. The New York Islanders lost a brutal semifinal series to the New York Rangers in 1979. The Islanders' response was to not only win the Stanley Cup in 1980, but they won 19 consecutive postseason series before they finally got knocked off in the Cup final in 1984. So that defeat at the hands of the New York Rangers, and I've heard many of the older Islander fans say this, and Islander players, that that defeat was necessary for them to go on that run. The New York Rangers, right before they won the Cup in 1994, they had a bad year in 1993. They missed the playoffs entirely. That humbling experience may have been the thing that propelled them to winning a Stanley Cup the following year. Here's what now scares me about the New York Rangers. Their humbling experience was pretty damn humbling last year.
Yeah.
They had a lead against the New Jersey Devils. Despite the regular seasons, I think they were viewed as the better team than the New Jersey Devils. Sean Morash took a broom out on the New Jersey Devils. There was an arrogance, a confidence, a belief that it would be easy, especially after getting to the Eastern Conference Finals a year earlier. They lose that series. Is that the same humbling experience that the 93 Rangers and the 79 Islanders had that eventually led to the Stanley Cup?
It galvanizes you because it's the last thing you want to hear about is losing in that fashion. Because it doesn't go away until you replace it.
Yes.
Right? It's the problem with sports. Like, people expect success, and if you have abject failure, the only way to make them forget about it is to have success. Virginia 2019.
That's a great example. I didn't even use that one, but especially with you sitting in the room as a Virginia guy, that's another example of it, just not locally.
Right. But it's nationally famous.
And even Purdue getting back to a national championship after they suffered that same humbling defeat. See? Does that make you believe, Sean?
There is hope, Sean. Yeah, and there's other hockey examples nobody cares about. The Lightning.
The Lightning got humbled, they won the President's Trophy. They got swept in the first round by Columbus, I think.
With Artemi Zarin.
And then came back.
Yeah, there's been a lot of hockey examples of that humbling. Then the next year you win the Cup. It's go time now. It's absolutely go. No more of this, hey, you're losing the second round. Fun little spring. Hockey's weird. No. It's go time.
Washington, Detroit, Pittsburgh, or Philly. Who do you want?
Anybody but Pittsburgh would be my answer.
You're scared of Pittsburgh?
No. It's Ovechkin, right?
Well, Ovechkin with the Capitals.
With Washington, with the Capitals.
Yeah. Crosby scares me the most.
Right.
I'd like to avoid facing Ovechkin. Truth be told, give me the Detroit Red Wings. Bunch of young guys up and down. They've played good recently.
By the way, did you see
they streaky?
Like, yeah.
I felt like I looked at their schedule and they had lost like 8 in a row at one point.
Yeah. By the way.
But then they had also won a bunch as well.
Any one of these teams that the Rangers play, if there's a 7-game series, it's a disappointment.
Mm. Got to take him early.
Wrap it up, baby.
I appreciate you doing something that some of my friends who are Knick fans could not do and say, hey, I prefer to play this team over that team. So I respect that you did that.
Yeah, I'm not a wimp.
Let's go to Mike in Hartford, Connecticut. What's up, Mike?
Hey, fellas. Hey, Kiki, great point about the OTAs. That was some great insight. I really appreciated that because I thought it would have been reversed.
No.
But, I primarily want to talk about – sorry to cut you off, Kiki. I thought it was going to be reversed. That was a great point. I appreciate that insight. But I primarily want to talk about just, like, Knicks basketball, Rangers hockey. Like, this is a great time of year for the city. I need New York to be the epicenter of a championship sometime soon. I'm a Yankees fan. It's really my only New York team, but I get up on the Rangers bandwagon and the Knicks bandwagon for the playoffs. And it's just awesome to see the city buzzing around like that, man. And I just want to say, as far as, like, the New York, the Knicks picking your team, that's loser's mentality. Go out there, get the 2 seed, and take care of your business. Beat anybody in front of you because that just shows you're not scared of playing.
Mike, obviously, you got to beat who's in front of you. What I asked Sean as a Ranger fan was a reasonable question. He gave a reasonable answer. By the way, CP's going to be here in a few minutes. I'm going to ask him a very reasonable question.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow night, the Miami Heat play the Philadelphia 76ers. When you sit down and you watch the game, what's your preference? Because we're humans. That doesn't mean I'm afraid of this team or afraid of that team. It means I have a preference. Tonight, as a Ranger fan, there are hockey games tonight. Washington-Detroit, correct?
Washington plays Philly.
Washington plays Philly. Okay.
Detroit plays somebody crappy.
The results of these games will impact who the Rangers play in the first round. It is okay to sit there with a bingo card and say, I prefer this, I prefer that. That's not a loser's mentality. By the way, we gave you the Yankees starting lineup. It was brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it. It is 5 o'clock.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new pretzel baconator today. Hummina. All right, an audio accompanied Cinco de Fivo.
Oh, making Loogie work. Okay.
Actually, I'm going to work because I play my own audio.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to give you my five favorite John Sterling home run isms, home run calls of all time.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
The pitch swung on, hit high in the air, deep down the left field line. It is going to be... gone! He's done it! A long, high drive down the left field line, just fair for a three-run home run. An A-bomb!
I love it. I still love it. It sounds so simple, but even the story we find out that John was going to stop doing it briefly until A-Rod's mom stepped in and said, I love that call.
Yeah. And Susan revealed that story to us a couple months ago.
Right in front of the A-Rod Day banner.
Of course. Mm. And A-Rod's Yankee legacy is always tied to that call. Now we get a little more quirky and fun. Here we go.
Number four.
The 1-2 is lined to deep right. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. It's a three-run home run for Brian McCann. Oh, McCann can. Yes, McCann can.
Oh, how good is that? The can.
Anytime John sings, I was always a fan of that.
Yeah, I love that. One. Matter of fact, that's the only call of a player where I was disappointed that their Yankee tenure had to end because I wanted to hear more McCann can.
I understand.
Here we go.
Number three.
Here's the 2-2. Swung on, hit in the air to deep right. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Hideki Matsui does it again. The second game this weekend, he has two homers in the ballgame. A thriller by Godzilla. Oh, the sayonara kid rounds third, heads home, and the Yankees take an 8-4 lead.
So good.
It's a classic. Like, there are a few that are just classics.
Yes.
And that's one of them.
Yeah, and simple, and all the kids having the Godzilla, you know, figurines in the stands. That was great. This one really hits home for me.
Mm-hmm. Number two.
The 1-2. Swung on, a long drive to right field. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Lance Berkman hits his first home run of the Yanks. Their first hit of the night. Obviously, their first run. Sir Lancelot rides to the rescue. St. Louis! St. Louis! Lance Berkman homers and the Yankees trail 2-1.
And what's so special about that is I think that's the only home run he hit as a Yankee.
The only time we got to hear that call, I would have given Lance Berkman 7 years, 100 mil, to continue to hear those calls. All right, and now last but not least, I think that you are not a real Yankee fan or Sterling fan if this isn't your number one.
All right, can I write down what it should be?
All right, write it down.
Because the way you phrase that too, Yankee fan, you got to do it. So this one to me is the most legendary one because whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going to write it down. Close your eyes. I'll show the audience.
You have it, Ev.
You think I have it?
You're not an idiot when it comes to this stuff.
All right. I don't know if TV could see it. I'll show it to you, Tiggy. You see that one?
Yeah. I wouldn't say. I don't know, man.
Wow. I surprised you.
All right.
All right.
You ready?
Yep.
Here we go.
Number one.
One out. No one on. Bottom of the eighth. 1-0 Seattle. It'll be a 3-2. Swung on and hit high in the air to deep right. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Bernie goes boom. He drills a home run the short way in the right field seats. Burn, baby, burn. And the Yankees tie the ball game at one.
Yeah, That's the one I wrote down.
Bernie Sanders?
No, Bernie Williams.
Bernie Sanders. I'm thinking of Bernie Sanders. Bernie Williams over Aaron Judge?
Yeah.
This one started it all.
Exactly.
It was just natural when he gave out the first burn, baby burn.
Aaron Judge is like iconic.
All right.
Like, if it was a Cinco de Tenno, might have made it.
The first time you heard that, you were like, oh, hell yeah.
It's a great one. By the way, John doesn't only have five great calls. These are my five favorite. Judge is a cut. I'm sorry.
Wouldn't you agree, Tiki? Watch, I'm gonna go presidential on him, and I'll get him to understand. Wouldn't you agree that no matter who becomes president in the future, no matter how great they are, and no matter how iconic they are, how amazing they are, they'll never be George Washington? Yeah, is that fair to say?
He was the first.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Bernie Williams was essentially the first.
And Burn Baby Burn is his wooden teeth.
Yeah, that one doesn't resonate the same way. You know what resonates from all of those calls?
Real quick, I just want to say this, and I want you to finish your thought. You're listening to WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM at WFAN-FM HD1 New York.
The thing that resonates with all of them is actually my favorite part of all of his calls.
Yes.
Is how he says gone. The gone part.
How does he say gone?
I got it queued up.
He's gone. The gone is the best part to me.
Right. Am I good, Loogie? Am I up?
One out, no one on. Bottom of the eighth, 1-0 Seattle. It'll be a 3-2. Swung on and hit high in the air to deep right. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone.
The gone is my favorite part of all.
I can see that. Gone. Very good list, Sean. We appreciate it.
All right. That's Cinco de Five-O today and every day, 5 o'clock.
Cinco de Five-O right here on WFAN in New York. Good job, Sean. Now, tonight, the NBA season restarts with a play-in tournament. Does anybody give a rat's ass, by the way?
No, tomorrow. Is it tonight?
Tonight's in the Western Conference.
Western Conference.
That's why I ask if people give a rat's ass.
Right.
Like, this could be the last dance for the Golden State Warriors. They take on Sacramento. The Lakers take on the Pelicans. And then tomorrow night, that's the main event for us. Because tomorrow night, we find out who the Knicks will play in the first round of the playoffs. Will it be the Philadelphia 76ers, a franchise the Knicks haven't seen in the postseason since 1989, a franchise that employs one of the most fearsome MVP, former MVPs the sport has ever seen, one of the great big men, Joel Embiid. But we always have questions on Joel Embiid's health and his ability to stay on the floor. Or are you still scared of the ghost of the Miami Heat? Mm. Either way, tomorrow night we get the answer.
The playoff heat.
That's right.
The proverbial scared of Jimmy Butler.
They shouldn't be. I'm saying that right now. I say that as an IBO, as an independent basketball observer. You will smoke the Miami Heat. And one guy who I know agrees with me. Is the leader of this Knicks fan base. It is not Stephen A. Smith. That's a lie. Okay? It is not Spike Lee. It's half a lie.
Oh, come on.
It is my man himself, CP, the franchise of Knick Fan TV. CP, welcome back to WFAN. Please, while we're together, don't insult my basketball team. How are you?
My guys. Happy to be back. I'm still glad my key card works. I know this was Spike's last day yesterday.
Ah, screw him. Your key card works forever, my man.
Now he can't turn it off.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Mr. Barber, happy to be back on with you.
Thank you, brother.
How
great
you doing,
to see
man?
You. Good to be back. You're not scared of the heat, are you?
I'm not scared of anybody. What is the scare talk?
I'm not saying you're scared.
What is the scare? See, that's the Nets fanning. That's the Nets side. I know. I couldn't help it. That was the Nets side of you, man. We don't duck smoke here.
I don't think you should duck any kind of smoke. And I appreciate what they did and what Tom Thibodeau did in the final few minutes of that Chicago game. I was telling the story on the air the other day. I'm at the Met game, and I have my phone set up, and I'm explaining to my dad every playoff situation. Like, here's who the Knicks would play here. Here's what would happen there. And so we all knew that the Cleveland Cavaliers quit. They decided, we're done. We're not going to play. And you knew in those final few minutes, we win, as in you, two-seed Miami or Philly. We lose, we play Indiana. I got to tell you, I say this honestly, I respected the hell out of the fact that Tom Thibodeau and the Knicks said, screw it, matchup or not, we want to win this game. How did you feel watching that, though?
Good.
You agree with that?
That's Tibbs. He's like Coughlin, right? We got to play to win. No, well, Herm Edwards said that, but you got to play to win the game. You got to go pedal to the metal. That is Tibbs. That is his mentality. You have to get ready and put yourself in position, gain some momentum. Look at what Billy Donovan did. Yep. The Bulls had nothing to play for.
They went for it, too.
They went for it.
Now, Evan positioned this as the Knicks getting screwed for having success, right?
They did. You have to admit that, CP. Well, you have a worse first-round matchup because of it.
You do, but
This was my response to you in real time when this happened. The Knicks don't feel like they're at a disadvantage against anybody, right? This Knicks team is just different. It's variable. They can play different ways. They rebound the hell out of the ball, which nobody else in NBA does anymore. I mean, hell, Josh Hart had 16 rebounds in multiple games this year. So it's not like they're scared of, say, a size disadvantage, because they'll go small, right? Or they'll shoot from around with four out. Like, they'll do anything that needs to do to win, which is unique for Tom Thibodeau. I think that's the biggest difference that we've seen with this Knicks team, is that they're not the same team every night.
It's not the same team. It's definitely not the same team. This team has a high floor. They're a tough defense. They play physical. Mm. They can rebound. Look at when they lost Julius, they lost Mitch, and they were still one of the best rebounding teams in the league.
Right.
Because of Hartenstein, because Josh Hart, the best rebounding guard in the league, Precious Achiuwa, he held them down for a long time until some reinforcements can come back. Now they have shooting efficiency. Look at Dante DiVincenzo, one of the best three-point shooters in the league. OG Anunoby from the corners. Now, we'll see how his elbow, you know, fares in the playoffs. Hopefully he can get that efficiency back, but it's a different team. And then in the end, you have the clutch factor with a legit MVP. Remember, we talked about this the last time I was here.
Yes, yes.
A legit All-NBA first team. First team. Yes. First team. Yes. And the reigning defending Eastern Conference
just
player
not
of the week.
Just not an Olympian, CP, that's all.
Mm. Oh, they screwed him. They screwed
him. I know they did.
They absolutely screwed him. They put old man Holiday and Halliburton. Come
you
on,
know, it's funny. When you were on last time,
I know, right? I don't even want to watch. Like, you want to watch that.
LeBron, Kevin Durant. They've got plenty of guys there.
They're going to be fine, but they already did that.
Jalen Brunson got screwed. I'd be the first one to admit that. When we had our discussion about Jason Tatum versus Jalen Brunson a few months ago, since that moment, you win the debate, right? Like, I won't lie to you. I'm not going to, like, try to argue that out. Jalen Brunson has been playing on a superstar insanity kind of level. With that said, I give you round one. You won round one.
Yes.
He's played like an MVP. I commend you. You won the argument. But here's where round two occurs. Yeah. Can he do that in the postseason? Is he going to be the top three player like he's played? And he has. He's played like a top three player in the freaking league over the last month. Yeah. I admit it. Can he do that come postseason time?
Why would you think he can't?
Right. The resume's there.
The skepticism I have is A, his size, B, the fact that everyone's coming for him. Now, the one thing that scares me is the way he reacted to what Boston did on Friday. Like, it didn't even freaking matter.
Right. Yeah, didn't matter.
I mean, we'll send Jalen, we'll send Tatum, we'll send Dub, we'll try all these different things, and it didn't matter. But you know it's just different in the postseason. Can he do that? Especially if you ever get to a series against Boston, which is certainly on the table. Can he outplay him in a series like that? And that's where we're going to find out who wins round two. But you won round one. Yeah.
He can do it. To me, it's not about Brunson. It's about the supporting cast. Are they going to step up? Because the huge hole in this lineup is Julius Randle. You're missing an All-NBA All-Star player. And even though his playoff performances have not been good with the Knicks, you still can't discredit the factor of how he's presented on the court. Teams have to prepare for that. Right, he's a guy that draws double teams. He's a guy that can create for guys. He's a guy that can get to the free throw line, which is one concern that I have about this team, is their ability to get high percentage shots and draw fouls and get easier shots at the free throw line. So I think Brunson will deliver. It's the supporting cast that it's a bit more of a concern for me.
How about this? Because we saw this at the end of the Miami series where I think it was in game five. Thibodeau had him play 48 minutes. I think it was in game five.
Yeah.
And then in game six, he played like 43 minutes, whatever it was. And we've seen it in the regular season that one of the biggest areas where they miss Julius is the offense when Jalen is sitting.
Mm-hmm.
How far does Thibodeau push him early where we don't get that many minutes where Jalen is sitting? Like, should we see Jalen Brunson right from get playing 44 minutes in a postseason game?
No, you have to give guys a chance. And the two guys that are going to be key here are, number one, Bojan Bogdanović. Mm-hmm. Because outside of Jalen Brunson and second to Josh Hart, he's their third most reliable shot creator.
Yes.
So how he handles pressure defense, make sure he doesn't turn over the ball, he's got to be a high-efficiency shooter for them. And most importantly, he has to stay on the court defensively. Because once he gets in the game, he's going to be a marked man.
Yeah.
So he's got to be steady there. And secondly, Deuce McBride. He has been a sharp shooter for this Knicks team. If Deuce can go out there and knock down those open threes, he shows some creation in the mid-range, that will give you some time. Like the Chicago game in that fourth quarter, it was McBride and Bojan Bogdanović that allowed Brunson a little bit of rest and then to come in and take over.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about that rest and that keeping guys fresh. It's the one thing that I don't know how it's going to play out is what is Tom Thibodeau going to do when he normally shortens his bench?
Yeah.
He didn't do it in the regular season. You started to see it, was it last year or two seasons? I forget when it was, when the bench got like It was like seven guys that were playing. That was it. Everybody else, might as well not even put your jock on, right? It was one of those moments this year where it's like, he's going deep, right? He's going to let eight, nine guys play. He's going to give Precious minutes, even if it didn't feel like he deserved it. And by the way, Precious rewarded him, right? And so did Deuce. And so the one thing that I get like nervous about if I'm a Knicks fan is what happens when we get to the playoffs and he gets like short arms. He doesn't want to reach out and, hey, get off the bench, Precious, or get off the bench, yeah. Deuce. Like, if that happens, I think that's when the Knicks get in trouble.
I think Deuce has proven that he needs playoff minutes.
Right.
I think his minutes in the rotation are solidified.
But is he actually going to do it?
Yes, that's absolutely. The question. They need him. They need him. It's all hands on deck in an eight-man rotation.
You know who's not getting playoff minutes?
Yeah, CP knows. Your guy, yeah,
you
Alec
missed,
Burks.
You missed on that one.
Listen,
just a little
well,
bit.
He missed. No, he no, got it got, right.
He predicted yeah. it right. Yes. But it was just a,
yes.
it was a it bad
was a miss.
Move.
It just hasn't worked for whatever reason.
I hope
it
you weren't
worked.
Talking directly to the front office.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the one thing about Leon Rosen is, and their regime is that they stuck to the game plan.
No doubt.
They had the assets. They had the cachet to go out there and get whoever they wanted to upgrade this team and make a real run in the East. But they said they're looking to the future. They want the cap flexibility in getting Burks and Bogdanovich. Burks hasn't worked out, so he's at the end of the bench. He's in the trunk, as we say on Knicks Fan TV. And Bogdanovich is proven
in
that.
In the trunk.
He's in the trunk. There was a lady that called in and said, Burks sucks, put him in the trunk. And it's been a viral sensation since then. So, yeah, it hasn't worked out for
me. Let me ask you a serious question.
Yeah.
That's a cool one.
Yeah, I like that phrase.
Yes, put him in the trunk.
Because I've been thinking about this for like the last 2 weeks. Yeah. I don't know what to do. I'm very loyal to the teams I root for. Yep. I'm a Met fan. I'm a Jet fan. I'm a Nets fan. I don't like the Knicks, but I try to be fair about them. Okay. But I like what you guys do. I watch Knicks Fan TV a lot. If I went and wore a Knicks Fan TV hat,
yes,
am I a sellout or am I just... Yeah. Like, I can still be a good Brooklyn Net fan and wear a KFTV hat?
You said no?
Well, for two reasons. What? Number one, you already sold out when you got the Knicks tickets. So when you show up at the Garden to watch games, you already bailed on the Brooklyn Brigade.
Sold out?
Yeah, you already bailed on the Brooklyn Brigade. But secondly, we got a ton of Nets fans in our chats, in our comments.
Are they hating on the Knicks, too? Or are they like, we're just...
In the shadows, you know, they'll hate here and there, but they respect what they do.
Is it real hate or is it just jealousy?
Oh, it's jealousy. Mm. Yeah. It's jealousy and hate. Yeah. You don't think I want to be in the postseason? You don't think I want to have the two
seats? Right. So that's what I'm asking. So,
yes.
Hypothetically, in a year from now, let's say two, whatever, the Nets are also
in this.
I'm just saying, hypothetically.
Okay.
Suspend reality and use your imagination.
Go ahead.
In 2 years, because I know it's not happening next year. In two years, the Nets are in the postseason. Uh-huh. Are you as hateful on the Nets or on the Knicks?
Yeah, the hate doesn't change. But I think what's interesting.
It's not jealousy then.
No, it's hate and jealousy. It's a combination of both. But what allows me to think clearly is we are the opposite. We're the same, but we're the opposite, right? You're looking at things on how can the Knicks win? How can they win a championship? Yep. What needs to be done? And I look at it as what can stop the Knicks?
Okay.
What can knock them off? Mm-hmm. So when we talk about tomorrow night, Miami, Philadelphia, I'm coming from a perspective of I will sit there with my popcorn and I will root actively for the team that I believe will beat you or can beat you. You, I assume, will sit there. Not that you're afraid of anybody, because I don't want people to keep construing this the wrong way. No one's saying you guys should be afraid of anybody, but you're still going to sit there and root for a team that you'd rather play in the postseason. Like, that's just the reality, right?
In this case
this
of Philly versus
like
Miami,
not really matter.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, stop it.
It does not matter.
Hold on.
Yeah.
When you watch the game tomorrow night.
Yes.
You having a watch party or you're just watching it by yourself?
Tomorrow night, we will be doing a play-by-play, actually.
You're doing a play-by-play?
Yes, we will be. Yes.
I love those. Very creative. So you're doing a play-by-play. Yes. You are not going to have a rooting interest when Tyrese Maxey goes up for a three?
No.
Hoping it goes in or hoping he misses?
No.
Full
I will
crap.
Not. I'll tell you this.
Bro.
With Miami and Philly... It's reputation versus reality. The Miami reputation.
I agree with that.
With Spoelstra. I was just down there 2 weeks ago. I watched them get smoked by that Heat team. You have to respect it, right? Because they can turn up at a certain point. They have a lot of versatility. And against the Knicks, I don't see many advantages that this Knicks team has against the Heat. Philadelphia, they're one of the hottest teams in the East. 8 straight. They have the MVP, the reigning MVP in Joel Embiid. Him and Maxey are a dynamic duo. I think Philly has the depth to contend with the Knicks, the size, the physicality. I think both teams... will be a difficult matchup. There is no easy run here just because the Knicks got this second seed. Because Philadelphia is not a legitimate play-in team.
Completely agree with you. That's why what I said the other day, and sometimes it's the messenger. I'm the wrong messenger.
Yes.
Because I admit I don't
this
like
the This is why
Knicks.
I'm here.
Exactly. I said,
you can co-sign.
The Knicks, in a way, got screwed. Like, they're the two seed. You deserve better than this. Miami, we know how they can turn it on. You mentioned it. We know what Philadelphia should be, and it's why, and I think this idea has been floated before. It's not my own creation, that the top seed should get to pick their opponent. Like, that should be your reward for being a top seed, a one seed or a two seed, because I think it applies even for Boston and certainly on the west side with OKC and Denver, where your first-round matchup, you're going to look at it and say, that ain't a real first-round matchup, and you guys playing Philadelphia is not a real fair first-round matchup. So I say that, and Knicks fans take it as, what are you saying, we should be scared of them? No, I'm not saying you should be scared of them, but you would admit that these matchups that you are potentially getting are more difficult. Yes. Than what you would have chosen. Because you probably choose, no offense to Orlando or Indiana, you're probably choosing them over potentially facing Philly.
Yeah, I would have chose Orlando or the Cavs. Those are the two.
I agree with the Cavs, too. Exactly. Absolutely. So I don't think it's crazy that the 1 and 2 seed should get that right in the future of the NBA.
I think it's a little different. So the Heat have earned where they sit.
Like, I agree.
The Heat play... Whether they're slow playing it, whether they just, it's the regular season, they just immediately have done this a year ago, going from the play-in losing and then going all the way to the NBA Finals. So, like, they earned where they are right now. I think the 76ers, however, they're fake at 7. Because if they have Joel Embiid for those 40 games that he missed, or whatever it was, 43 games that he missed, they're not the 7th seed.
They're probably the 2 seed.
And so, one side of this I can agree with you on. Like, they get screwed because the 76ers are right there. But the Heat, this is just the Heat.
Yeah.
This is what they do. They rely on, like, the miracle of great coaching or playoff Jimmy Butler to be that team.
Or being a really dirty team. Which is
whatever. Yeah, exactly. Whatever it is. Like, but they know it. They own it. Like, they own and they earned exactly where they are. The 76ers are a different battle, which is why I think in our minds, you know, whether or not you don't care, but in our minds, we think of the 76ers as the big challenge. But I said this when we first started having this discussion, whatever, 2 weeks ago, because it was lining up that the Knicks might get screwed and have to play the 76ers. They have the bodies to throw at them, though, right?
Yeah.
Right? Even if you have to throw a massive size disadvantage and put Precious in there, dude, just foul him, bro. Right? Take the fouls, man.
And he's a foul merchant at Joel Embiid, sure.
But that's what I mean. Like, there are ways to frustrate him. There are ways to make Joel Embiid not feel comfortable. And the Knicks, fortunately, especially with Mitch back, they have bodies that can do it. Like that. That's why you don't necessarily worry about him.
Yeah, they're going to need it because there are going to be games in that series should Philly move on where Isaiah Hartenstein, you know how the playoff goes, where one team might have the edge and then the next game, the referees, you know, they're a little bit light on the whistle. Hartenstein picks up two whistles real quick in the first quarter, and then you have to go to Robinson. Then you might have to go to Precious. And so the Knicks front court depth is going to be key in that series. There's really no weakness when it comes to Joel Embiid outside of his durability and maybe his conditioning. He just got hurt in, I think, the penultimate game of the regular season. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how he looks tomorrow. But those are the only ways that they're really going to be able to slow him down.
More on the potential first-round matchup with CP, as well as the rest of this potential Knick run we may all be going on. And we'll mix in some calls, too, potentially 877-337-6666. All right, let me ask you a hypothetical. CP, the franchise, is with us. I always say this after every Knick game. That's the post-game show. It's on YouTube. Subscribe. Hit the like button for your boy. See? I know all the phrasing and everything. Here's the hypothetical, CP. They heated down by one. Jimmy Butler puts up about a 12-footer. The horn goes off. If it goes in, it's the Heat against the Knicks. If it rims out, it's the Sixers against the Knicks. In that second, as you're watching that ball float through the air, CP the franchise, what do you want to see happen? A miss. Let's get his mic on. There we go.
Check. A miss. I will never root for Miami Heat prosperity any time at any point in my Knicks.
So that means you'd prefer to face the Philadelphia 76ers.
I will never root for the Miami Heat. Yeah, okay, bring on the Sixers. Well, bring them on.
Hold on. Yeah. Joel Embiid and the Sixers are down by 1 point.
Yeah.
And Joel puts up a fadeaway jumper at the buzzer. Are you rooting for that to go in or go out?
I'll probably leave and go get a snack.
I'm trying to figure out deep down in your soul.
Yeah.
Who he wants to face?
Who you want to face or who you prefer to face. And it's not about ducking anybody. Yeah. It's not about thinking a team is easy to beat. It's just about preference. Like, we all have preferences. Yeah.
I want Miami.
You want Miami.
I want revenge
Yeah.
for Brunson. That game six, costly turnover.
Yep.
I want revenge for Julius Randle. I want to see them exercise their demons. That has to be the next story in the chapter in their story.
They need to finish their story.
They need to finish the story.
And the story starts.
Like Cody Rhodes.
That's right. By the way, I would agree with that. Like, yeah. I think, and look, I've said on the air, I think you guys will kill Miami. Maybe that's a little bit too much. Yeah. But I think you're better than them. And I think that kind of fixing the demons of last year, first of all, I don't think Miami's as good. And I think you guys are better. So when you combine those two things, I agree with you. I think the Miami Heat are the preferred matchup.
The issue is the question marks on this team without Julius Randle. Like, we saw Josh Hart. He was bad in the playoffs last
year. Yes,
yeah. He's been great for this team this year. He's been Mr. Everything, an Iron Man, everything. He was terrible in the playoffs. Eric Spoelstra exposed him. And he, at times, has a, you know, a tunnel vision where, or just lack of confidence in terms of his shot selection.
Right.
And that compromises the spacing for the entire team. Teams don't even care to guard him.
No.
Right.
Next up is DiVincenzo. I need to see him in a big spot. Is he going to continue to be an inferno as he's been in the regular season?
Yeah, I mean, that was the one good thing about Julius and all the injuries is that Josh actually had to start shooting.
Right.
It was like, dude, you can't give it up for a better shot.
Early in the season, he was afraid.
He was afraid.
He was definitely afraid.
Yeah.
And you saw it over a couple of the games in the middle of that injury spurt where he just said, all right, whatever, and start. And he's good at it. Like, but he lacked the confidence. But I think he needed to do it.
Right.
Just kind of like Deuce needed to do it. And now Deuce is a 40-plus percent three-point shooter, and he's going to be valuable at some point. So, we know what the injuries thought. We know the Julius Randle thing is a big deal because you can't bully ball offensively without him.
Right.
I mean, Mitch maybe can do it a little bit, but not really. He does because he can't create really on his own. So off the pick and roll. So it's different. But I think these other guys developed something that they would not have if Julius was in this lineup.
Speaking of Dante DiVincenzo, 283 made threes, 40% from three, not eligible for the NBA's Most Improved Player Award. Did you read that?
I saw that. Yeah.
So the way that the NBA classifies games played,
yes,
okay,
you have to play more than 20 minutes, right? And they have that new 65-game rule.
Yeah.
For DiVincenzo, he played 62 games with 20 minutes or more, but they only grant you two games where you can play less, where you can play between 15 and 20. You can only do that twice. Before he disqualified.
It's ridiculous.
So he's had more games where he's played between 15 and 20 minutes over the two-game allotment that the league has issued. Wow. So he's only at 62.
He missed the cutoff. I was reading about it earlier, and I have to tell you, I was so confused.
All right. Yeah.
It didn't make sense. It
makes no sense.
And, you know, it's funny about
that
Dante.
That is too nuanced to be relevant or important.
Yeah. And it's all based on getting guys to play more games, but in this case, it doesn't serve the purpose. Like, Dante DiVincenzo wasn't sitting out games for maintenance. Like, and he also had a handful of games we were talking about earlier this season where Thibodeau was playing him like 39 minutes, 40 minutes a night.
Yeah, that's why he hurt his hamstring.
Yeah, I was absolutely convinced of that. Yeah. Like, that's the, you know, Tom Thibodeau gets a lot of crap. Some of it's not fair anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the one time this year where I thought, okay, he got a guy hurt.
Yeah.
Because Dante DiVincenzo had like one game in his entire career where he played more than 40 minutes. Now all of a sudden he's playing 40 minutes like every single night and then he injures his hamstring. That's such a BS rule.
It is a BS rule, and I think he deserves the most improved player. His play in the playoffs could potentially impact how the Knicks build this team going forward. Mm. I think his performance could be major for them.
Is he free?
He's not free. They signed him to a mid-level exception.
Yeah.
I think he's the best contract in the NBA when you talk about value and impact. But his play could swing things in the offseason.
A lot of times during the postseason.
Oh, you mean like bringing in somebody to
right,
I got it.
Right.
I got it.
Right. Roster construction.
Right. Got it.
A lot of times during the postseason, there are these role players, and you see such a great difference between the way they play at home and the way they play on the road. Very, very common thing. Dante DiVincenzo can't be that.
Can't.
If he's that, they'll lose in the first round to a team like Philadelphia. They need him to kind of. And my question is, are you confident he's more than that? Because he has taken such a big step this year. And I give the coaching staff a ton of credit.
Well, this is why you want it to be Philly then.
Yeah.
Close to home. Close to Nova.
The Nova, right?
Oh, God,
the
Nova
connection.
Let's go.
The Nova Knicks are at home.
I haven't even thought about that Nova connection there.
Are you confident Dante DiVincenzo is that guy?
No. I have to see it.
Yeah.
And the thing is that we talk about Spoelstra with Miami. the thing about Philly that gives them a leg up is they don't have Doc Rivers anymore.
They have a championship coach.
They have a championship coach who's not afraid to mix it up, not afraid to make adjustments. And the thing about DiVincenzo is once they run him off the three-point line, can he make a mid-range shot? He doesn't have the wingspan to finish at the rim. That's one of the things that he's not. That's one of his biggest weaknesses. And so he's going to have to both play make and be able to make tough shots once they try to take away his strength, which is his three-point shooting. He's been great this year, though.
He's had an unbelievable year. I was saying this earlier to Tiki. One of the big compliments, I guess I have to give this to Tom Thibodeau. I don't know where else I go with it, is that watching the NBA just as a fan, Dante DiVincenzo, Josh Hart, and I Hart, those three guys in particular, they were always nice NBA players, and watching them now all the time, they are far better than I could have imagined, or they're just flat out better. That this coaching staff has clearly unlocked those three guys where they are significantly better players than what they were throughout their NBA careers.
Tibbs deserves a lot more credit. And there's been times throughout his 4 years where fans have wanted to run him out of town. But if you look at individual player performances, just like you said, DiVincenzo, Miles McBride, look at where he's been.
Yeah, big steps, yeah.
Isaiah Hartenstein credits Tom Thibodeau for his defensive improvements because he didn't have that reputation when he came in from the Clippers. And so he's going to get a big bag in the offseason, hopefully by the Knicks, or he could be gone. So Tibbs deserves a lot of credit. You look at Precious Achiuwa. A lot of people looked at him as a throw-in in the OG Anunoby trade.
He felt like it those first three or four games.
He did. He was a disaster. I was ready to run him out of town.
Right. Shooting three-pointers. Like, what are you doing, bro? Yeah. Stop.
He's played well. And now you have Randall, three-time All-Star. Brunson, first-time All-Star. So Tibbs is another guy. He's going to get that extension in the offseason, I believe.
Does Jalen Brunson finish in the top five of the MVP?
He should. He's number four for me.
Do you think he will?
Yes.
Because this is about the disrespect for Jalen Brunson. Do you think he does?
Yes. I think it'll be. I hope Shai Gilgeous-Alexander wins it first and foremost. I think he deserves it.
It's gonna be able to take that
OKC team from 10th in the West last year.
I'm with you, man.
To the top.
I agree.
He definitely deserves SGA. He's not going to win it, but
he deserves it.
He deserves it.
So, in logical order, you say Jokic, SGA, Luka. Get Giannis out of there. What have they done? Jalen Brunson has done the most with the least this year and led his team to the second seed in the East, 50 wins. Notable improvements across the board, and had to do it largely by himself.
And 30 of those games, he was missing.
That's right.
The big compliments for his team.
Absolutely.
All NBA. Is he also all NBA?
Yes, first team. We'll bump Tatum out of there.
Now the Knicks get disrespected, and I'm gonna give you evidence because I was saying the other day because someone called in like, why do you think Jalen Brunson doesn't get the respect? My theory I have. This is where I can be fair, is that I think that there's an LOL Knicks tendency that the national media has. Mm-hmm. They want to make fun of the Knicks, just like they want to make fun of the Jets and the Mets. I think that's why I can relate to it, because I root for those two other teams. And the problem is the Knicks, not quite the Jets yet, they've earned their way away from being made fun of. And I saw something today, and it actually pissed me off. And I'm not, again, pissed me off. Right. I hate the Knicks.
Yeah.
This video leaking out. This video, if you haven't seen it, there's a video that leaked out that everybody's making fun of. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Paolo Torre, I guess, had it. Of the Knicks video pitch to LeBron James.
Yeah.
And it features the Sopranos. It features the late James Gandolfini. I think it features Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
It features a few things. It's corny as hell. I think we'd all agree with that. And it's lame as hell.
And it makes no sense that it's out right now.
Right.
Why are you talking about old stuff?
Oh, it makes sense why it's out right now. Because there's nothing to make fun of the Knicks about. Huh, like, the Knicks are legitimately good. I may not like them. They're legitimately good. They're a contender. They're a two seed. And all of a sudden, out of the clear blue sky, a video comes out which everyone wants to make fun of the Knicks. The first thing I looked at is, who leaked that? Who put that out there? Because it really does feel like it's a part of an agenda to like, hey, we can't really make fun of the Knicks anymore, but how about this? 12 years ago, they tried to get LeBron. Where do you think that came from?
It's got to be some former employee.
I think it's an employee with an axe to grind, but it's not going to work. The Knicks fans are Teflon. They don't care about that.
Well, why would they care about it? It was a decade and a half ago.
That's why the timing is odd.
It was weird. But like I said, the Knicks fan doesn't care. So they come to me. They come to our platform
to
talk Knicks. But this is why I got to hold you accountable.
What I do, because, I'm defending
because
you.
I hear and notice similar things at this station.
What I do.
Oh, not, the station. Not you in particular.
Go ahead.
You know, Boomer, he wants to stick to his hockey. Okay, fine. Gio, I don't even know if he knows the Knicks play basketball. he wants to stick to his impersonations and all of that. His comedy stick, which, you know, hey, it's To each his own.
Right.
You got the 10-2 guys. I call them worst take because all they want to do is just come out with the worst takes possible. And by the way, when they hung up on my guy, our good buddy callbacks, I didn't like that.
All right.
It was old news, but I didn't like that.
So and you're mad at them. Terrible. You're mad at the morning guys. What else?
You're our only hope. You are our only hope.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Do not feed into the nonsense.
No. I did. Listen, man. This kind of crap, like that video coming out, is nonsense.
Yeah.
Well, that's why the only time I would bring it up is to call out the nonsense of why would something like that come out? Like it's irrelevant.
Yeah. It's not like it was a unreported pitch to, I don't know, Joel Embiid when he was a free agent. Like, it's not like it's something we don't know.
It's from a million years
ago. But we already know that they pitched LeBron James. We already knew that it was probably corny and stupid and, I don't know, played out. Like, we already knew that.
Right.
Missed the mark. So it's not new.
And missed the mark.
But do you think that's why Jalen Brunson kind of gets this disrespect nationally because of the team he plays for? Is it something else? Is it the fact it took him a while to become this star? Like, what is it?
It's a couple things. For one, it's taken a while for the Knicks to kind of get back into being legit. Not just a team that scraps for the eighth seed or is just happy to be there. You know, that 2012-13 team is kind of an aberration, not something built on long-term or longevity. So it's taken a while for the Knicks to get that respect. But for Brunson, this is only his second year as a guy leading a team. And so his name is not his. He hasn't been a household name. I said this in the preseason when he got the Team USA honors. And you know, I said, you know, in order for him to get the All-Star recognition year after year, he's got to elevate his brand some more. Because people were saying, well, why is Trae Young out there? And why is Tyrese Haliburton out there? Look at how many social media followers these guys have. They're into fashion. They're into this, that, and the third. So they're spreading their brand around. So he's just getting started with it.
Because we discount it because we just look at what's happening on the court most of the time. But that is such a great point.
Yeah.
The brand matters, even though it doesn't matter. But it matters from a achievement, from a statistical or not even statistical, like a non-statistical award world. It matters who's paying attention.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, this one is more difficult for you. And I fight myself this all the time when my team is about to enter the postseason because my philosophy as a sports fan is we got to win it all.
Yeah.
Okay, how long are we on this planet? I have no idea. I don't know what the rest of the East is going to look like next year, the year after that. So you have to take advantage of the moment. So obviously, when you go into the postseason, you should dream about winning an NBA championship. Don't let anyone tell you it can't happen. Sports is a crazy thing. Mm-hmm. But in all seriousness, what is a fair, reasonable expectation for this team? Like, if they got knocked out in the first round of the postseason, even against a team like Philly, I think we would say, boy, this was a major, colossal disappointment. Is that a fair statement to make?
Disappointment. Major, colossal, I wouldn't use those
because adjectives. Of Philly?
Yes.
Okay. And I get that.
Because of what the Knicks are working with right now. Right. You got to be real. I mean, this is a star-driven league. In the playoffs, that's where the stars shine bright. And like I said, Jalen Brunson will be there. The rest of the guys, we'll have to see. It's going to be game to game.
And I could be nuts for saying this. I think if the Sixers win tomorrow night, they may be the favorites in this series. Like the betting odd, not by a lot,
they kind
but
of
slight
are.
Favorites. They
I would give it
because of the NBA final honor.
Right. They have better odds to come out of the East right now than the Knicks.
Philly's tough.
Absolutely.
They're tough. They have the depth. I mean, they got guys like Kelly Oubre.
I know.
Playing above his socks. That was a guy who no team wanted any parts of.
Right.
And he's playing the legitimate number three guy on that team.
So conference finals. Not a word.
Conference
bust.
Finals.
Conference finals is the reasonable expectation from this kind of team.
This first round series will be the toughest in terms of them getting there. Mm. I think if they get past either Philly or Miami and they get into that next round where.
They'll win.
I agree
think
with they
you. Can win. I don't think Giannis is playing again.
Woj could seem like he's going to start.
Woj should say whatever he wants about him coming back later in the series. I'm very skeptical of that.
Yeah,
that's a risky proposition with the calf injury. I know it's just a calf. It's not an Achilles, but it's connected.
Well, we saw that with Durant and Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
We saw it with both guys.
Yeah.
I agree with you. The second round, and you can't look ahead too far because you still got to take care of the first round, but the road in the second round seems more reasonable.
Yeah.
The other thing, though, that I think is the caveat, like we all expect Boston to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. But we all expected Milwaukee to get to the Eastern Conference semifinals last year, and they didn't get there. And your opponent sometimes changes those expectations.
Well, it's interesting. If the 76ers, as we're talking about this, beating the Miami Heat and now facing the Knicks, it puts the Heat square against the Celtics.
And that's not an easy series for Boston.
Not at all. I mean, it's we talk about getting revenge against the Heat with the Knicks. The Celtics probably have the same exact mindset, right? If they have to play the Heat, I mean, that's... they should be scared. The Celtics should be scared because they just immediately lost them.
I think the Celtics got a terrible draw, too. Right. I mean, think about it, because if they don't play Miami, they're playing Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Mm. But think about it. Imagine the Celtics having to deal with the Sixers in the best-of-seven series.
You're making excuses
for
Jason
they've always
Tatum,
beaten
man.
Them.
I'm not.
You're making excuses. Right.
They've always found ways to beat the 76ers, the Celtics, even when they weren't better than them. Yeah, like when the kids were young, like the Tatum and those guys, they still beat them.
By the way, do you think I want the Boston Celtics to be successful? You think as a red-blooded New Yorker, CP, I want to see Boston have success?
As long as the Knicks don't have success, I think so, yeah. That's fair.
But in general, like, I don't want to see Boston do well.
Over Philly?
Well, I mean, you're giving me these Sophie choices, like Philly, Boston, New York.
I'm serious.
The thing that's
Philly over Boston? No.
No, I'd like to see Orlando come out of the East.
The thing that's interesting with the Celtics is when you look at the net rating that they had throughout most of the regular season and their point differential and compare it to some of the teams of old, I mean, they're up there with some classic teams. You know, the 72-10 Bulls, the Warriors team that beat that Bulls record, you know, the old Laker teams. But I don't see that same dominance. Right.
They don't feel like that,
Something does not feel doggish,
right. And it's your boy Jason Tatum and his boy Jaylen Brown.
Well, because
they've got to exercise those demons.
Look, Jason Tatum came up very small in the NBA Finals 2 years ago. Like, nobody can deny that. The one thing I hold out on, and I mentioned this about an hour ago in relation to hockey, but I think it makes sense in the NBA. It's other sports can be used as an example, that some teams, after an embarrassing defeat or a bad defeat, that following year is an on-a-mission kind of season.
Yeah.
The San Antonio Spurs lose to the Miami Heat in the NBA Finals, the Ray Allen play.
Yeah.
And that entire following season was like a revenge tour.
Redemption, yep.
And guess what happened? They played Miami. They beat the crap out of them in the NBA Finals. It was a revenge tour. I mentioned that with the Rangers in 94. They missed the playoffs in 93. 94, come back, they win the cup. The birth of the Islander dynasty, the same thing. I've had that feel about the Celtics all year. That, think about the last 2 years. They lose in the NBA Finals. A Finals they should have won. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget that. They should have won it. They should have gone up 3-1 on Golden State. They should have won that series. They blew it. My boy, if you want to call him that, Jason Tatum collapses. Yeah. Right? Following year, they are about to come back from 3-0 down on Miami.
Yeah, but the fact that they went down 3-0 tells you everything.
That does tell you everything. Right. And now this is the year in which they've had a dominant regular season. I agree. It doesn't feel like who they are match up with the numbers they put up, but they do have that feel of if they're ever going to do it, it's going to be this year. This is their revenge tour season. If they're not in the NBA Finals this year, then quite frankly, break them up. Like, seriously.
Well, they kind of did it a little bit.
Well, they altered things with Marcus Smart and KP. They shuffled it. But I mean, if they can't get to the finals this year, then they got to have a big-time self-evaluation. Well,
they just paid Jrue Holiday. Mm-hmm. Jason Tatum's contract is going to come up next. Jaylen Brown, they made him the highest paid player in the NBA. So it seems like that is their core four with Porzingis that they're going to go to war with. That last regular season game that they went up against the Nuggets, though, the way I saw Denver really dominate them, especially on the glass.
Yeah, right.
You know, Aaron Gordon, that's Jason Tatum's guy.
The Knicks did the same thing.
Same thing. And so I'm not so sure, if they make it, that they can beat the Nuggets.
Josh Hart had 16 rebounds.
Yeah.
he was boxing out Porzingis.
They're a soft team.
Like, exactly.
I think that is a very fair question about them.
That's what people don't want to say.
Yeah, they're a soft team.
No, they've been a soft team. Yeah. And if they don't do it this year, then I think we definitively have the answer on them.
Yeah, the only dog was Smart. Like, Marcus Smart, you hate it.
No, they took their one dog and they traded him away.
Yeah.
I understand. I want to look into your eyes. I want to see if I believe you.
Yeah.
How far are the Knicks going this year?
Eastern Conference Finals.
Eastern Conference. And then they're Eastern losing Conference to the puppy dogs that you just talked about?
It'll probably be a different team because I think the Celtics get upset by someone else. I don't even know if they get there.
It's so funny you say. So when you said we were talking about it's got to get to the Conference Finals, it reminds me a little bit of last year. They got to the semifinals, but I think the expectations changed because they were playing Miami and not Milwaukee. And you heard it from Knicks fans. Maybe not from you necessarily, but a lot of Knicks fans looked at that and said, oh, now we have to win the series. We got Miami. This is great. If you're in the Conference Finals facing
Miami,
the Cleveland Cavaliers or the Miami Heat.
Miami Heat. That would be the best setup.
That would be fantastic.
Against the Heat.
Right. That would be fantastic.
In the Conference Finals.
But then you better beat them.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. They have to win.
If you're not facing the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, then the expectation is we better win.
Yeah. They have to.
And who are you facing in the first round? What do you think is going to happen tomorrow? Philly or Boston?
It's Philly. I think Miami's too banged up. They have not been playing well, especially offensively. No Terry Rozier in this game. Duncan Robinson trying to recover from injury. I don't think are the same team.
Yeah.
Like I said, the reputation is there, but Philly, you got to ride the hot hand with the MVP and the dynamic duo. With
the Max. Only question is, can Jimmy Butler, I don't know how many times we've seen this year, because I haven't paid too much attention to Miami, can he score 40?
That's what he's going to need to do.
And if he doesn't, then I think you're right. It's the 76ers.
Well, I say this as respect to you. Good luck.
Thank you, sir.
Okay?
Thank you, sir.
Good luck to you. Good luck to the diehard Knicks fans. I hope you get knocked down the first round. And if you do, man, I'll be locked in a KFTV. I may call in that day.
We should just make this a weekly spot. What's Ryan T. Hurley's number?
You want a weekly spot?
We might as well.
We got the power to give it to him.
I don't know if I'm going to come to the studio every day. You guys haven't caught me for my train ride and my subway. The Iron Horse is very expensive these days.
We're about to give him a weekly spot. He's like, wait a second, actually.
You know, you got congested pricing, traffic. It's almost an hour and a half in traffic.
That hasn't started yet, has it?
I don't think so.
We'll talk to Ryan Hurley, and we'll see if we can hook you up. But we always love talking to you. You're the man, all right?
Absolutely, man. Enjoy being here. Thanks again for the time.
Appreciate it.
CP, the franchise. Check them out after every Knick game, even before Knick games. They do all sorts of stuff on
KFTV. During this upcoming Knick game.
During the upcoming Miami game. Yeah, they're all over the place.